What's up, everybody? Down to the wire, another episode, week four in the books. We're finally getting into our first games in October coming up. I mean, first 4 weeks just like seem like they just flew by. I mean, it's crazy. Mason is back to talk about it with me. Mason, welcome back. How you feeling?
I'm not feeling great. I'm not really looking forward to reliving last weekend after I absolutely blew my picks and blew fantasy. So hopefully next weekend's going to be looking better for me.
Yeah, man, you had a rough week on picks and a rough week on fantasy. And we'll get into that once we get to those segments kind of towards the end of the show. But I mean, you know, also like, listen, you live in Florida. There's a hurricane coming. You're in the Orlando area, so you know you're not in Tampa, so that's good. But you know, still gonna be riding out a hurricane here tomorrow.
Doesn't get any better for me. It just keeps going downhill.
Well, the good thing is you have power, and it's not too bad. And selfishly, I'm saying that so we can record the podcast, and I don't have to do it by myself. But you know what? I can be selfish sometimes, and it just is what it is. But I'm sure you'll enjoy being able to talk about football and not think about freaking weather that's coming and hoping your wife doesn't go into labor as it's happening. Because, you know, we're worst case scenarios over here. Don't want that to happen. But some crazy stuff happened this past week in football. We're going to get into it. And I'm just going to lead off the show with saying this. Stop trusting your kickers. Just stop. Okay, it's been bad enough, and we can go back probably at least every week. There's probably a couple of games every week, and I'll just do the exercise for you real quick on the past couple of weeks on games that have come down to field goal kickers missing kicks, and because of that, you lose the game. We're not going to start off with the two games everybody thinks that I'm going to be talking about of last week. We're going to start on Friday night, the Syracuse-Virginia game. It didn't come down to a last-second kick, but Virginia missed two field goals in the first half, and they lose by two. Okay, stop trusting your field goal kicker. All right, might as well just like go on fourth down at this point. Okay, we'll go to the next one that everybody knows about. You know, Arkansas and Texas A&M, with Arkansas banking one off the top of the field goal that I don't think anybody has ever seen. I mean, what the heck? And the ball stayed in the air forever. And then you know, go on further from there. Earlier in the day, Auburn, I don't know if you could say that they won the game, but Missouri lost the game off of missing basically an extra point in regulation and, you know, dropping the ball at the 1 yard line. But you should have won in a regulation on a freaking field goal that you missed like super wide right. Okay. That's three just on this week. LSU missed a field goal this week. Doesn't matter, though. I mean, they didn't play anybody. But, I mean, still, that's another case of don't trust your field goal kicker. There might be another one this past week. But let's go to the week before. There was a couple of week before in week three that happened of field goal kickers just missing extra points or missing field goals to that cost their team the victory. If I can get it loaded up here. Let's see. We had... If I can scroll faster. South Florida and Florida at the end of the night. Freaking South Florida being like, oh, you know, we'll go conservative. We'll go play in overtime instead of going for the jugular, and your field goal kicker has his thing blocked. Okay, there's that one. Liberty could have upset Wake Forest if they don't miss a field goal in the game. All right. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. Even in the NFL, it's been happening, dude. Like, you would think in the NFL, okay, these are professional guys. They don't ever miss. It feels like they're missing more now than ever. Everybody, if you're a fan of football and you can and you watch this stuff and you see your field goal kicker going out there, I don't care who it is. You better cross your fingers and hope to God that they can freaking make the kick, because there's just something about this year that's just not happening.
Yeah, and look, as an Alabama fan, I have my fair share of scars from field goal kicking. So you're preaching to the choir over here. I've been trying to tell people this forever to stop kicking. If you're on your side of on the 50 and it's fourth and four and shorter, go for it. Get out of here. Even Alabama now has a great kicker, but I can't get past it. Every time he trots on the field, I think of all the scars that I've been left with.
You have PTSD from everything that's happened to you as a Bama fan. And it's just like, listen, like I understand if like, you know, it's fourth and long or something, or you're going for the points. If you're like purposefully setting up your kicker just to get a game-winning field goal, when you easily have plenty of time and plenty of downs to go for the jugular and score a touchdown, go for the jugular and score a touchdown. If Missouri is going for it and actually goes for a touchdown at the end of regulation, they probably win the game. And at worst, you're still tied and you're going to overtime anyways. If you're South Florida, you're playing freaking Florida, the like one of the best teams in your state. And instead of, you know, going for the jugular, you're just going to, you know, we're just going to, you know, run down the clock and we're just going to go for a field goal and hope for the best. Like, no, like you're the underdog. Go for it, man. And if it comes down to it where you play three plays and it's fourth down and you have to kick it, then go kick it. But don't just like give it up. Like that stuff drives me crazy. And it just keeps backing up our points of like this season is a perfect example of like, don't trust your kicker at all, because like, it seems like half the time they're going to miss it and you're going to be like super upset.
You never want the kicker to be the hero. It never works out.
All right. That rant's over. There's another one coming up later, but we'll get to that when we get to it. So Mason, let's talk about this past weekend's games. There were some good ones. There were some that were super ugly, a.k.a. Missouri-Auburn. I don't know if you can even freaking call that a college football game. But, yeah, just talk to me, first impressions and takeaways on some, you know, various games that you watched this past weekend.
Yeah, like you were saying, Missouri and Auburn was absolutely disgusting. It was really hard to get through that game. I'm even surprised that even after a win, Brian Harsin still kept his job. We'll see what happens with him next week. Maybe he's gone. I don't know. We'll have to see. Another fun one. It seems like Oklahoma has a little tad bit of a Kansas State problem. Because this is, what, the 100th time that Kansas State has beaten Oklahoma?
Some of that, man. I don't know.
Don't know where it's coming from. I thought it was a Lincoln Riley had a Kansas State problem, but now it's in Oklahoma has a Kansas State problem. USC looked human too. Their offense kind of came crashing down to earth a little bit. But
listen, why the heck is that on the Pac-12 network that nobody can get? Like, I wanted to watch the game. Oh, Pac-12 network, you don't get it.
They're just trying to make their money. They got to get their money.
They're not
going
to make any because nobody wants to pay for it. Like, honestly, I probably could have gotten a trial of like Sling TV or something just to watch it. But I'm like, it's not worth it. Like, I'm not dealing with that crap. Like, no. Yeah.
And that game is exactly why you don't want to sit there and pay for USC and what, Oregon State just for a 17-14 game. Get that out of here.
Freaking awful. Yeah. And a couple other teams looked human besides USC this week, too. I mean, Michigan looked human against Maryland. Of course, you know, Michigan hadn't really played much competition leading up, so this is their first kind of big time game, and Maryland seems improved, but they looked human. Georgia looked human against Kent State.
Yeah.
Give up 22 points. And I mean, I don't know what you really want to take away from that, but they definitely looked human. I mean, Wake Forest could have beaten Clemson. Clemson had a really good performance from DJ Uiagalelei, which is his first good game since the Notre Dame game when he played for Trevor Lawrence. So he finally looked good. It's been 2 years since then. So, I mean, there are a couple of games that, you know, outcome against teams that you expected to blow them out, and they didn't. It was close games. I mean, you include that with Ole Miss this week, didn't play well in the second half, and Kentucky having it close against Northern Illinois. You could probably say that both those teams were looking forward to this coming up week playing each other. I mean, there were a lot of kind of like surprising scores this weekend. And then you get into some of these other games that we picked. Notre Dame, I mean, let's just say this. Notre Dame still doesn't have a good offense, but I think we can just like say now that North Carolina probably has the worst defense in college football. So like I knew that they were bad, but I didn't know that they would be so bad that they could give up 45 points to Notre Dame, 24 in the second quarter. I just didn't think that would be possible, and I thought North Carolina could just outscore them. They scored 32 points against a good defense, but their defense was just horrid, man.
I guess a red flag should have been when they gave up 40 points to Appalachian State in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I guess it should have been.
Overlook it a little bit.
I guess it should have been. I guess I was just like, Notre Dame's offense is so bad. Like, there's no way. There's no way. But you know what? They found a way to do it. It was unbelievable. So that happened, and then you know Middle Tennessee State went beating Miami like convincingly. That was a super shock, and Miami ended up replacing their quarterback midway through the game. So it seemed like they lost their top receiver and lose to A&M, and they just kind of crumble. So it'll be interesting to see.
My favorite thing coming out of that game was I saw a stat that Middle Tennessee State is 3-0 all time against Miami.
That's crazy. How is that possible? How is that possible? How in the world does that happen? I don't understand it. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot that happened. There's probably just a couple of games that we're just going to talk about before we move on. Let's start with what game do you want to start with, Mason? You tell me.
Why don't we start with Arkansas and Texas A&M?
Arkansas and Texas 8-4. So what the heck, man? Arkansas was the better team.
Choked it, man.
First of all, why the heck are you trying to reach the ball out on first and goal from the freaking 5-yard line? You're nowhere close to the goal line, and you're reaching the ball out, which then causes them to fumble the ball, and somehow Texas A&M recovers it and goes all the way with the little shovel pass. My one question on that is, how are you as a ref not calling like the forward progress stopped and allowing that to happen? That's a little weird, but you know, it is what it is. They scored. And then like you still had a chance to win and you freaking leave it up to your kicker and he blinks it off the freaking top of the goalpost, man. Like what is this?
Yeah, that was a rough game from Arkansas. It felt like the look ahead game. Because, you know, Alabama's coming up this week, and then you're playing Texas A&M, so you're looking ahead. You think Texas A&M, they've been struggling. They just lost Appalachian State. We've got Alabama coming up. We're looking ahead, and then you drop the ball. And I don't want to say they embarrassed themselves, but some of the plays and some of the stuff that they were doing, just it didn't feel like they were ready to play. And for some reason, Texas A&M is starting to find their offense. I mean, A-Chain started going off. They're getting a run game. It feels like Max Johnson's kind of playing all right.
Whoa, whoa. So, let's not get too crazy here.
Is that a stretch?
I will agree with you. Like some of like the play calling for Arkansas, especially in the second half, just didn't make sense. Like they were running, like they would have a drive. I think this was probably towards the end, but you know they were running the ball at will, it seemed, and getting a good flow. And then for some reason, they decide to do like a reverse, like try and do a trick play thing. Listen, like you don't need to do a trick play. Like you're gashing them and you're doing whatever you want and you're doing good medium pass games and you're having, you know, KJ be able to scramble when he needs to and gets first downs. Stop getting cute and like let's just play our game because you're dominating the line of scrimmage and stay on schedule. But instead, like they do some of this crazy stuff of reverses and all this that none of them actually worked because A&M is a disciplined defense. So like there's no reason for some of that. And I think that a lot of that kind of cost them the game. And even just besides those points, I mean, it just seemed like they were playing super conservative in the second half because they thought they had it. But at that time, like you're down. So like you need to go and take the lead. And I think, you know, obviously that one play with the fumble recovery touchdown obviously like completely changed the game because you go from Arkansas being up what like 21-7 or something like that to being like basically tied. Like it was a huge swing, and so I think that obviously the momentum fully changed, and so they really had to try and build it back, and it took them a little too long to get it back. So I mean it was definitely a big deal, but yeah, I mean,
yeah, and jumping for the goal line 4 yards out makes no sense. So
makes no sense.
AJ, he got what he deserved for that.
Makes no sense, man. It was pretty horrible. I mean, honestly, if they play again, I think Arkansas would win. I'm
yeah, I do too.
And I don't want to get too crazy here. I wouldn't say that A&M's offense is really finding anything. They just like A-Chain had a touchdown, and they scored like two or three more times of field goals, and that's about
it. So my thing with it is their offense had looked so horrible the previous two.
It's three so weeks. Horrible that you can so, only go up. Okay.
It's a little bit of a step up. It's like, because it felt like they were trying to put so much on Haynes King that they completely forgot that their best player was their running back. And so to see them kind of have a willingness to go to him a little bit more, I don't want to say it's encouraging, but it just, it's better than it was. It looks like it's going in the right direction, but to them, the right direction is two steps up instead of like halfway up the stairs.
The right direction is not turning it over and scoring maybe two touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I get that. I mean, they definitely seems like they're probably more willing to rely on the running game because they kind of have to, because they're realizing that they really just don't have much playmakers. One thing that is kind of problematic for them is they did have a injury to their best wide receiver, which is Anaya Smith. That's a big, big loss. Hadn't looked. Let's see if there's any updates on him. I think it might be season
ending.
Yeah, season ending injury. The best wide receiver, really best outside weapon that they had, and he's out for the year. So an already struggling A&M offense is even worse now, losing their best option at wideout, and that's a huge loss for them. Big win, but huge loss as they go into Stark Vegas and play Mississippi State this weekend. So that's kind of big. All right, well, let's move on to another game. Vandy didn't cover. Alabama covered the 40.5, which we both took, winning 55-3. Again, I didn't watch any of it. So what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we're playing Vandy, so it feels like it's another week where I can't really give you too much other than we just absolutely murdered them. But, you know, the defense kind of did their thing. They were flying around looking good. Bryce Young did his thing again. I mean, it's just
– Hey, you didn't throw any interceptions, did he?
He did not throw any interceptions. The interesting thing to me was Jahmyr Gibbs only had two carries, I think it was. So they were using him a lot more in the passing game. But also it could have just been – we're playing Vandy. We don't really need to do it too much. So
sure.
But we did connect on a couple deep balls, so that was nice to see. The wide receiver is actually getting some separation.
But, it is Vandy, okay, though.
It's Vandy.
All right, we'll move on then. Let's go ahead and get the train wreck out of the way. Okay, let's talk the abomination of a football game that was Missouri against Auburn. It feels like it was just a waste of time. It really did. Yeah. Like, it was just and I'm not even, like, we're not even Auburn or Missouri fans, so it makes it even worse. Like, I feel sorry for them. But, oh my gosh, it was so bad. Both teams are horrible.
Yeah, when's the last time something just absolutely disgusting like Missouri just blowing the field goal at the end of the game happened on top of probably the worst performance of a football game you've ever seen? Because, like you said, the game was just disgusting. It never had any flow. And then you get to the end, Missouri finally has a chance to put us out of our misery, and then they doink it, and now we got to watch an overtime game.
Did he even doink it? Didn't he just, like, miss it completely?
Yeah, completely wide right.
Again, this is basically an extra point, like, middle, yeah, like, the very middle of the field, extra point, like, literally set up, and he misses it so far right that he completely misses the goalpost. And this is a guy that's been, like, super consistent, especially from deep range and short, and the guy freaking misses it. And then on top of that, like, you know, they give up a field goal. One, they jump offside on the first field goal attempt for Auburn after the guy freaking shanks it, even worse than the Missouri kicker. And then because they were offside, you know, they get the field goal. And then Missouri gets the ball and they're doing good, and the guy fumbles the ball as he's going into the end zone at the 1 yard line. Like, it wasn't even like an Auburn player touched him. Like, he tried to move it and it just fell out of his hand. What are you doing? Like,
yeah, come on, guys.
Oh my gosh. So
our big criticism of him last week was they didn't give Tank the ball enough. So this week he had 19 carries and then he had two receptions on top of it. So 21 opportunities total. I mean, that's the number that you're looking for. Maybe a couple more, but even then, you're giving him 21 opportunities, and you're still only putting up 14 points.
21 opportunities, and out of those 21 opportunities, he only had a total of 44 yards.
Yeah, that's rough.
0 yards in the passing game. He got 0 yards in the two receptions that he had in the receiving game. And then rushing the ball, his 19 carries, he had 44 yards, and that's a measly 2.3 yards per carry.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess rough. You know, maybe like they knew that they just couldn't run the ball last week, and so they're like, hey, we're not going to do it. But like, he's your best player, so you know, you're an idiot still. Getting the ball somehow.
This is against Missouri.
Yeah, like you said, this is against freaking Missouri, dude. They're not a good football team, and now you are obviously not a good football team.
Yeah,
it's
that's
just ugh.
I don't. So you bad. Can't. There's not much to take away from that the game other than Brian Harsin's not making it too much longer.
Oh my gosh, they're just. It's just so bad to watch. And all right.
Are you gonna feel bad if LSU is the reason that Brian Harsin gets fired?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Listen, they gave us a favor after they beat us and we fired Les Miles, so that was, you know, a good thing. So we kind of owe him one, but.
You're going to repay them the
favor. We're going to, you know, graciously repay them the favor after beating them by like 50 points in their own house. And we're going to, you know, we're going to return the favor to them. Oh, man. It's bad.
I mean, would it be the worst thing if Brian Harsin stuck around? I mean,
listen, as an LSU fan, he is more than welcome to stay. He is more than welcome to stay. You know, we could use a new bottom dweller in the SEC.
I think he's a great coach, actually. Awesome recruiter. I don't know. I mean,
listen, it's working out for me. It's working out for me, you know? Okay. I can't talk about Auburn anymore. They're just, let's move on. We'll just talk. I didn't really watch much of the Clemson Wake Forest game, even though it was super close besides the end. The last pass by Sam Hartman, what the heck are you doing? And also, I was looking at the replay again. They look like they are running four verts on like a fourth and like seven. It's like, dude, just get the first down. Like, what are you doing? But that was horrible. But let's talk Tennessee, Florida, and then we'll move on to the next segment talking about rankings. Tennessee looked good. They choked away our pick at the end by doing prevent defense. And after not recovering the onside kick, I think every Tennessee's fans was reliving their nightmares of what always happens, it seems, with them in Florida, of choking it like away when you didn't think it was possible at the end. But they somehow won. So what did you think on the game?
Yeah, Anthony Richardson just did the same thing that he's always been doing. Looking like super dynamic, a great running quarterback, but just doesn't have the accuracy. And what I'm taking away from it is that Tennessee is legit. Their offense is really good, but their defense has still got some question marks. But I love what they're doing on offense. I think Hendon Hooker is awesome. And they did all that without their best wide receiver. So it'll be interesting to see what they got going on when they get him back. Because, you know, early in the season, he was playing awesome. You lose him. I don't remember what the injury was, but he didn't play against Florida. Hopefully he comes back next week. And so we'll see what happens. But I really like what Tennessee's doing.
Yeah, Tennessee definitely looks good. Hendon Hooker looks like a Heisman contender for sure throughout the year. I don't think he hasn't thrown an interception yet this season. So he's been super clean. There's definitely still concern on Tennessee's defense. You were talking about Anthony Richardson at the start. And yeah, I mean, he's still obviously not fully there in the passing game, but the guy still threw for over 450 yards against this team. You're telling me that this guy that hadn't thrown a touchdown pass all season throws two and also throws for over 400 yards. That's a problem. And so I don't know what your game plan was. Your back end of the defense still needs some work. So it seems like against some of the better teams that are going to be playing, it's definitely going to be more of a, hey, we're going to have to still outscore you thing, but you still have the chance of getting some stops. So it might not be like a 45 to 50 type game. It might be like more in the 30s like we saw, but I mean, your defense still has a little bit to go. So you're still going to be kind of hampered on that. But yeah, I was definitely impressed with Tennessee. They finally get the win. The atmosphere looked amazing. And so that was a really good win for them. What are your kind of takeaways from Florida? This was their first road game under the new coach. They came out and played really well. They did have mistakes. Honestly, the score looks maybe a little closer than what the game actually was, because prevent and all that kind of stuff. So what were kind of your takeaways of Florida on that?
Yeah, I was encouraged by it for sure, because last year with Dan Mullins, if they're in a situation like this, like they just cave and they don't finish out the game, they don't play hard at all, because it never felt like they were really bought into Dan Mullen. But after watching and seeing what they're doing with Billy Napier now, it seems like they're rallying around him. It seems like they want to play for him. They're not wanting to give up. And I mean, you saw that. Like you said, they came out and they played really hard. They were obviously not as talented as Tennessee, and that's fine. This is first year of Billy Napier. So when he's able to get recruiting, start getting his talent in, start getting in guys that he wants and can work with, I think Florida is going to be they're going to have some good things going for them at that point.
Yeah, for sure. So this will be the one team that I'll go through a schedule with you. I want you to give me a win loss on the rest of their schedule. Right now, after the first month of the season, they're sitting 500 at 2-2. So we'll go through the schedule. Let me know if it's a win or if it's a loss, and we'll see what we think. 10-2 isn't looking too good for your Arkansas.
They've still got one loss.
They have one loss. So, you know, they have only one left to give on the rest of their schedule. So we'll see how your 10-2 pick looks move forward. But let's do Florida this time. So next they got Eastern Washington. They're playing that on Sunday because of the hurricane. I'm assuming that's a win, obviously. So that gets them to 3-2. Next they have Missouri at home.
I would say win.
Win, so that makes them 4-2. Next, they host LSU.
Say loss.
Okay, so 4-3. And then next, they go and do neutral site against Georgia.
Oh, let's say that's an L.
4-4. Next, they go on the road to Texas A&M.
I mean,
that's a good game right there.
I think I would have to give them an L.
Okay, so
you said it's on the road.
Yeah,
right?
It's on the road. It's at Texas A&M. Yeah, so we got them at 4-5. They host South Carolina.
Give them a win.
5-5. They go on the road to Vandy.
Give them a win.
6-5, and then they finish the season on the road at Florida State.
I'd give them a win there.
So you're going to give them a win against Florida State. So that's 7-5. So we're thinking 7-5, 6-6 kind of record probably for year one under Billy Napier. Is that a successful season, or what kind of season do you think that is for first year under Billy Napier at Florida? I mean, this is Florida, you know, but yeah. That's obviously not up to the standard, but it is year one. So
yeah, honestly, If you're giving me, I'll say 7-5. If you're saying 7-5, I do think that's going to be a successful season for Billy Napier, because I think they're kind of in a rebuilding the image mode right now, because it felt like Florida was kind of falling off with Dan Mullen, even though they were just in the SEC championship. It just felt like the last year of Dan Mullen did so much damage that Billy Napier had a lot of work to make up. And it feels like if you're going 7-5, you have an entertaining team, you're getting more eyes on you. I think that's a solid season, solid first season, honestly.
Yeah, and I mean, it just makes the first game of the season, the win against Utah, that much bigger, right? Because yeah, I mean, there's huge. A decent amount of swing games. The LSU is a swing game. A&M on the road's a swing game. Florida State's a swing game coming up. I mean, at this point, maybe South Carolina could be that. That would be more of a tricky one, but I again would lean more towards Florida on that game too. So, I mean, you got three, maybe four swing games the rest of your schedule, and that week one win against Utah makes it huge when it comes to a record standpoint. Obviously, last year they went 6-6 and lost the bowl game, so the record might not be super improved from last year, but obviously the product does look a little better and they look more competitive this year. So maybe they'll get some upsets. Maybe they'll beat LSU. Maybe they'll keep it. I mean, I think when it comes to the Georgia game, obviously everybody's going to pick Georgia. We're going to pick Georgia. The litmus test for Florida is, can they keep it close? Can they keep it close? Can they be competitive in the game? They're going to be scheduling to see, okay, how far away are we? And can we keep it close with what we have? Because you get blown out by Georgia, I don't know how happy you're going to be. I mean, obviously, everybody's going to say, oh, it's Georgia. But, like, you're Florida. You're supposed to be right up there with them. And so, depending on how the game looks, I think could also kind of affect maybe the outlook of the season. Am I kind of crazy there, or what are your thoughts on that?
No, I agree. Yeah, because Georgia is the top dog right now, just being honest. Like, it's them and Alabama. So you're not playing Alabama. So you got to go in and you got to make it respectable against Georgia, or else you're probably really going to start losing recruits at that point. Because if you're giving guys no hope against a team like Georgia, it's never good for you. So I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, just sitting out here, I mean, obviously we got basically a whole month of football until we get to that point, right? But I would sit here being confident saying I think they can keep it close against Georgia at the end of October. I think that's a realistic thought. And if they get blown out by Georgia like they have against some of these other teams, I'd honestly would be shocked because Florida's that much improved. They have a dynamic quarterback that can, you know, have a game like he had this past weekend and keep it close and carry it on his shoulders. The defense has improved and everything. So I would be shocked if it came down to, you know, them just being completely blown out, because I don't think they're there anymore. I don't think they're going to be at that point. But obviously, we'll see when we get there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I can see it being one of the things, because it's a pretty big rivalry game. So I can see it being a thing where it's a tight first half, and then second half it kind of gets popped open. But I would be surprised if they get blown out too.
Yep. A couple other games that we'll just kind of quickly go through real quick. Ohio State bludgeons Wisconsin 52-21. Do you have any kind of like thoughts on Ohio State? Looks like their defense is really improved. Their offense is obviously picking up. They look like, I mean, it seems like top three in everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, CJ Stroud is just so fun to watch. And you're putting some awesome weapons around him. Marvin Harrison Jr. is so good. And then Jackson Smith and Jigba starting to come back. They're just a lot of fun to watch on offense. And it's pretty scary, honestly. Like, and I agree with what you're saying. It's Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State. Like, choose, pick your poison at that point.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it definitely right now feels at this point top three. It does seem like maybe the top three do have some chinks in the armor. We'll find out more about Alabama this coming up weekend. And then obviously we'll find out more about Georgia when they get into that rough four-game stretch towards the end. But yeah, definitely a big, impressive win against Wisconsin, which is always a tough team. An upset that happened, Kansas State going on the road. Like you kind of mentioned, there's something about Oklahoma having a Kansas State problem. They go in and win fairly convincingly on the road there. Adrian Martinez, the former Nebraska quarterback, gets a win. So that was good to see. USC struggling against Oregon State, which we've already mentioned. So, yeah, some really good wins. Another one, I didn't watch it, but I did see some highlights. Oregon somehow pulling it out of the hat and beating Washington State. That was crazy.
Bo Nix tried to Bo Nix.
Bo Nix tried to Bo Nix. He threw for over 400 yards and 3 touchdowns. So I don't know what it is, but he tried to Bo Nix it, but it didn't happen, and he still won and put up a lot of good numbers. So, yeah. What are we thinking? Okay, so before we get on to the rankings, and I'm just kind of pulling this out of nowhere, but what are we thinking Pac-12 now? We're first month of the season's over. A lot of games have happened. Utah has a loss. Oregon has a loss. What are we kind of thinking? And USC is obviously doing well, but they struggled this past weekend. Washington seems like kind of a surpriser team that's kind of come out of nowhere and is playing well. What is your thoughts on what the Pac-12 really kind of looks like a month in?
Yeah, I was really excited about what USC was doing. But their defense is still a major worry for me. And between them and Oregon, after Oregon got just absolutely demolished week one by Georgia, I felt like everybody was kind of looking side-eyed at them and didn't really respect what they were doing. Oregon looks like a completely different football team from what they looked like week one. Like, it's almost night and day at this point. I mean, to me, I think there's less question marks surrounding what Oregon's doing than there is with USC. So if I had to pick somebody right now out of the Pac-12, I would say Oregon. But like you were saying, like Utah and Washington are still lurking around. So I think the Pac-12 is a lot better than everybody thought it was going to be, which is pretty surprising to me. But I like what they got going on right now, honestly.
Yeah, it definitely seems like it's going to be a really good year for the conference when it comes to competitive balance at the top of the league, the top four, which right now, and let's not leave out, I mean, these are obviously the only teams that are ranked of Oregon, USC, Utah, Washington. But hey, UCLA is undefeated right now. Obviously, they don't have any, you know, fans, it seems like, but they're undefeated with Chip Kelly. They have a big game this weekend against Washington on Friday. That'll be big to see if Chip Kelly can keep winning it or if Washington's still going to kind of steamroll, it seems, through their schedule. But yeah, I mean, right now it kind of does seem like a coin flip. I mean, obviously before this past week, I think we both probably thought, oh, this is definitely USC's in the bag with how they've been playing. And then they go and play against Oregon State on the road. Seems like a tough matchup, and they only win by three. They didn't really look good doing it, but they won. So I mean, that's good. But when you play these harder teams like a Utah and like an Oregon and like a Washington that can actually score and has a pretty good defense, it'll be really interesting to see how that is. So, yeah, I mean, it's one of those, there seems to be two, maybe three conferences that are completely wide open this year. That's the Pac-12, which we just talked about. The Big 12 is wide open. And the ACC kind of seems wide open too. I mean, Clemson doesn't look unbeatable. So anybody on that side of the conference can probably win it. And then Pitt, you have Pitt on the other side, which seems to probably be the favorite now on that side. So anybody can win it in the ACC. Basically, anybody can win it in the Big 12. I mean, the Big 12 is just going to cannibalize itself, it seems like, with all these really talented teams. With, you know, you got Oklahoma and you got Oklahoma State, you got Baylor, Kansas is undefeated, West Virginia is no slouch, Texas is still good, you know, Texas Tech just won against Texas, so you have a lot of good teams. It'll be really interesting to see how that conference shapes out. And then you have your conferences like the SEC and the Big Ten, which seems like you have your top dogs already. It seems like it's Alabama, Georgia, USC, maybe Michigan. And that's basically it. Maybe throw Penn State in there if you want to, but that's basically kind of your options. So,
yeah. So regarding like a 14 playoff, who do you think would get more respect, a one loss Pac-12 team or a one loss Big 12 team right now?
Probably Big 12. And it probably depends on the Big 12 team. I mean, if we're thinking one loss teams, I mean, that takes Texas out, that takes West Virginia out. The only team, but everybody else is in. So the only two teams that don't have a shot right now, West Virginia and Texas. Obviously, Kansas is a great story, but let's go ahead and throw them out. They're probably not going to go undefeated. Iowa State, they're going to lose another game. They're going to be out. The realistic teams that have a chance to make the playoff in the Pac-12 or in the Big 12 is Baylor, Oklahoma State, which Baylor already has lost to BYU. They have to beat Oklahoma State this weekend. To even have a chance to make the playoff. Again, this has nothing to do with the conference, but this has to do with the playoff. So those two, and they're playing it on the field, and then Oklahoma. And Oklahoma is like, they definitely look beatable. And I this is, again, a week in advance. I'm picking Texas over Oklahoma in the Red River Shootout. So to me, it's going to come down to Baylor, Oklahoma State, to me.
Yeah.
On the Pac-12 side, I mean, the thing with the Pac-12 is that it is top heavy, but the thing about the Pac-12 is they take the two top, teams, and so you could very easily have you know, two one-loss teams in the championship game because not everybody plays each other like you do in the Big 12. The thing with the Big 12 is that everybody plays everybody, and then the top two teams play each other after that. That's not really the case in the Pac-12, I don't think. Not everybody plays everybody because there are 12 teams. It's impossible for you to do that. So, you know, USC, let's look at USC's schedule, for instance. The only USC doesn't play Oregon, but they do go on the road to Utah. And so you lose that game to Utah, no big deal, right? You'll probably play Utah or you'll play Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game, right? The only problem with USC is that the only team that's ranked that's going to give you something on a resume standpoint is going to be that on the road at Utah. And so if you lose that game, but then you go and win the conference, I don't know if that really helps you. I think with Utah, the Florida loss kind of hurts for you, But that's so early in the season that if you go undefeated the rest of the way, I think you have much more of a resume than anybody else probably in the Pac-12, because you play USC and you go on the road to Oregon, and then you're probably going to play one of those two teams or even Washington at the end of the year in the championship game. I mean, you look at Oregon. Again, you got bludgeoned by Georgia at the beginning of the year. That's probably going to hurt you. But when it comes to a resume standpoint, you did beat BYU, and then you also play Washington and Utah. So if we're talking one loss teams out of the Pac-12, I think you eliminate USC, and you're probably looking at the other three of Washington, Oregon, Utah, but probably more Oregon or Utah out of one of those two would probably be the more of a likely choices.
Yeah, no, I agree with you completely. I think the problem that they're going to end up facing is, like you were saying earlier, there's like a three-headed monster right now, and it's Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State. But Michigan's also kind of lurking in the water right now. So what happens if Michigan has one loss and it's to Ohio State, and then Ohio State's still murdering everybody? Are you taking a one-loss, not conference champion in Michigan over a one-loss conference champion in Oregon or in Oklahoma? Like, I think that's kind of where their problem's going to be. And I mean, it's going to be the same thing with Alabama and Georgia. If they are undefeated going through the SEC, one of them's going to have one loss at some point because they're going to go head-to-head with each other. So now you're looking at a one-loss Alabama, undefeated Georgia, undefeated Ohio State, one-loss Michigan. And then where do you go from there?
And then you can also add in maybe a one-loss Clemson. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Could be conference champion, or it could be a one-loss. I mean, you know, one-loss champions are going up against other one-loss champions going up against a non-champion Michigan, you know? It's going to be interesting. And honestly, like, this would be the perfect year for a 12-team playoff.
It really would be.
And, you know, we've had the conversation. We've rant and raided, probably me more than you. But we've talked about this in all the quote-unquote purists. You can't tell me that if we had a 12-team playoff this year that you wouldn't watch the games. And that's all that matters. You're going to watch the games, and you're going to care about what happens, and you're going to watch. And the games that we could possibly have right now would be amazing. And we're going to, whenever we get to the end of the season and have our conference champions, we're going to do, and it's going to come out in social media, but we're going to talk about what the 12-team playoff could have looked like this year if it was implemented. So that's going to happen. We're going to talk about that when it gets here. So that'll be probably real interesting. And then we're all going to be like, oh man, I wish that was this year. Ugh. But yeah, so I mean, it's real interesting, man. It's going to be real interesting how the playoff stuff kind of shapes out, and it's going to be a real interesting discussion if we get that way. So, all right, let's move on to the rankings this week. And it's probably going to be a little quicker here as we go through it. Wasn't a ton of movement, no movement out of the top five in the AP. It's still Georgia 1, Bama 2, Ohio State 3, Michigan 4, and Clemson at 5. USC, after struggling, goes up a spot. And then Kentucky moves up a spot, and Tennessee moves up 3 spots. And that's just because some teams lost, like Oklahoma, who had some big drops. Tennessee up to 8 after their win against Florida, so that's good to see. Oklahoma State doesn't move. They're still at 9, and NC State moves up twice. Penn State moves up 3 times to 11. Utah is still top 15 after that first loss, and Oregon's right behind them at 13. Ole Miss is at 14. Washington at 15. Washington keeps coming up after beating Michigan State. Baylor goes up a spot to 16. Texas A&M, after their win against Arkansas, goes up 6 spots to number 17. And then we get to some teams that dropped, with Oklahoma going down 12 spots to number 18. BYU hadn't moved. Arkansas, after their loss to A&M, goes down 10 spots. Unbelievable to me. 10 spots to 20. Minnesota comes up out of being not ranked. They're at 21. Wake Forest only goes down 1 spot to Clemson after losing in overtime. Florida State makes an appearance. Chad, I know you're celebrating. Florida State finally ranked. Pittsburgh doesn't move. They're still up 24. And then Kansas State, after their upset win against Oklahoma, is at 25. Kansas, right outside that top 25. They're the next one up. So they're 26. than Cincinnati, Florida, Washington State. So, thoughts on the top 25?
Yeah, we were texting about it a couple of days ago, how weird it is that there are three SEC East teams in the top.
It's crazy.
You would have told somebody that at the beginning of the year, they probably would have punched you in the face. And then add on top of that, you have an undefeated Kansas about to crack the top 25. This just, it feels like a crazy where year are already.
We? Like, is this basketball yeah. or what are we doing here?
It's got to be at this point.
Yeah, it's crazy.
One thing I'm interested in, though, is that they keep flirting with NC State actually jumping into the top 10, but they still keep them at like 10, 11, 12. So I'm interested to see what it's actually going to take. I'm sure it's going to take them beating Clemson to actually jump in the top 10.
Yeah, they're sitting right at number 10 this week. So a couple, like, why Arkansas lost on a neutral site game to Texas A&M based off a boink field goal off the top of the post. And you're going to tell me you're going to move them down 10 spots?
Yeah,
that's I mean, I understand moving him down some, but 10 spots, I think that's a little aggressive. Obviously, they weren't top 10. They're silly Arkan frauds, okay? But they're better than 20, I think. Oklahoma moving down a good bit, I think that's a little bit more of course reaction, like, you know, making sure they get it right, because they probably had Oklahoma ranked a little bit higher just based off previous years. Obviously, they aren't as good. Texas A&M moving up 6 spots. Again, like, everybody's probably going to say, Cam, you just don't respect Texas 8-4 at all. And you're right, I don't. And so they shouldn't be anywhere inside the top 20, in my opinion. And you won't change that, my opinion on that at all, because I have no respect for them.
Not even with their kind of below average offense, no?
Dude, you're being too kind. It's definitely worse than below average, okay? It's horrible. But yeah, so definitely there's just, again, a couple of movements that just kind of scratched my head, mainly the Arkansas one. That's just like, it's just crazy. Like, move them down to 15. That's where they should be. They shouldn't be down to 20, but that is the AP for you. So any other thoughts? One thing that I did want to note, we don't usually talk about the coaches poll at all just because it really doesn't matter. But I did kind of want to note on the first place votes real quick on the coaches poll comparative to the AP. So the AP has 55 first place votes for Georgia, 4 first place votes for both Alabama and Ohio State. Now compare that to the coaches poll, and it's a little different. It's a little bit more split between the top two, Georgia getting 34 votes and Bama getting 26, and then Ohio State getting 4. So seems like it's not as unanimous on the coaches' side on top team in the country as it is on the AP side. Again, this could just be because of the Kent State game or whatever, but did just kind of want to note that, that, hey, maybe it might not be as obvious as we all kind of think it is. Obviously, Georgia isn't going to be playing anybody until they play Florida, but just a note there. Okay, so talked about the rankings. Listen, okay, I gotta get something off my chest here, okay?
What is this, rant number 2?
This is gonna be rant number 2 of the night. I'm baffled, Mason. I'm completely baffled and upset.
Why is
because
that?
Because freaking CBS is idiotic. That is why. So as some of you know, I am going to Baton Rouge, not this weekend, but next weekend for the LSU Tennessee game. And in the offseason, and I blame Alabama and Texas A&M partly for this, and their stupid coaches for getting into a tantrum fight in the offseason about recruiting. Okay, let me go off, and then you can respond here. Okay, I partly blame them because of their tantrum that they threw in the offseason, which then caused CBS to immediately be like, "Oh, we're doing our doubleheader this weekend." And everybody knows since the offseason, because they chose that date, it is obvious what the game at the night doubleheader is going to be. It's going to be Alabama, Texas A&M. Let's not forget that this Texas A&M team is garbage. They lost to Appalachian State. They got lucky and should have lost against Arkansas. And they're going to get beat against Mississippi State this coming up weekend. So CBS chooses their primetime game, their first pick of the week, is going to be Texas A&M going to Alabama, and what's going to be a bloodbath, first of all. It's going to be a bloodbath. It's not going to be close. Okay, so let's have that in your brain. You're going to have a 3-2 Texas A&M going on the road to Alabama to get bludgeoned as your primetime game of the week, CBS. And then on top of that, you then have the nerve to, instead of picking a high-profile matchup that's going to happen next weekend, you're instead going to pick another bloodbath that's going to happen at your 2:30 slot with Georgia playing Auburn, who's probably going to have an interim coach and has no talent whatsoever. And you want to have like a 55-0 type game on your 2:30 game and not Tennessee going on the road for the first time in Baton Rouge since like 2008 or something. Now, Mason, tell me, does that make sense to you?
Okay, my first question. Great rant. Really love it. Is your problem with the fact that you don't have either one of the two primetime games, or is it just the fact that it's not the night game?
Oh, my problem. Okay, so I already had set myself up. Okay, we're probably not going to be the night game. Okay, there is an argument to be made that we should be the primetime game.
I can agree.
Okay, there is an argument to be made, but the fact that you're going to pick Georgia and Auburn over LSU Tennessee, that Tennessee is going to be a top 10 team coming into Death Valley for the first time since like 2009, and you're not going to have that game when LSU is going to be 4-1 hosting an undefeated top 10 Tennessee, and instead you're going to show freaking Georgia and Auburn? Like, what are we thinking here? And because of how the contract is set up, ESPN gets third pick and they can't have a night game at the same time as CBS and can't have a 2:30 SEC game at 2:30. So it's either, hey, you either get the 11 o'clock slot right after game day on ESPN, or you go on the SEC network on these other time slots, which they're not going to pass over for this type of game because they're not freaking idiots. Okay. Like, what the heck is going on here? What are you thinking?
Okay, so I definitely agree with you because Baton Rouge at night is so electric. So I can agree that that would have been fun to be the night game. But it is extremely disrespectful that they didn't pick the LSU game over the Georgia Auburn game. That's
like,
just,
what are we doing? Like, insane. Who, like, do we need to get like this person like doxed or something on like who made the decision here? Like, what is, like, what could possibly be going on in your brain that you,
if, like, it makes you feel any better? There's only a few more years of CBS. Oh, what, 2 more years?
Like,
I don't think so.
Like, whenever like that whole thing came out, you know, I wasn't like everybody else that like was praising it and be like, oh, thank God we're going to get rid of Gary Danielson and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, guys, come on. He's still pretty good. I know some people don't like him, like, but he's still one of the best guys in the game. Like, it's CBS, it's nostalgia and all this kind of stuff. And then this freaking happened. And now I'm like, I cannot freaking wait for you to get the crap out of here and ruining time slots for these freaking games, dude. Okay? I can't wait to be gone. Because then ESPN can set it up to where, oh, hey, it makes so much more sense to have LSU play Tennessee at night. And, hey, we can still have another primetime game and have Tennessee, or, you know, A&M and Bama play at 5. And then you do a late game LSU and Tennessee at, like, 8. Like, there's no problem. They did that in week 1. So, like, come on, guys. Like, I'm so mad because now there's like no tailgating at all. And then we have to get up freaking early as molasses, like as early as the freaking crack of dawn to, one, be able to get to campus and to be able to do the things that we want to do. And it's just like, I'm bad. I'm mad. And so is everybody else. And I can't wait for CBS to get the frick out of here. Okay.
Now you just have all night to hang out. Isn't that better? No. Anyways, you get to celebrate the win.
I want to be in the stadium during the day and not have to rush to get there. Like, it's just the atmosphere. Like, okay, there is one caveat. LSU is undefeated at 11 a.m. kickoff games at Tiger Stadium since the decade or whatever. But like, I don't care. I don't care. Okay. I just, okay. I think I'm done. Otherwise I could probably keep going forever, but I just, it just makes no sense. I have blame to place on everybody. I have blame to Nick Saban and to Jimbo Fisher for being idiots in the offseason for causing this. And CBS is stupid, and it's just stupid. All right.
I respect it. I'm not going to add on to it.
Okay. After all that's being said, let's move on to fantasy. So for anybody that hasn't been listening, I don't know what you've been doing, but thank you for listening now. We do a fantasy lineup every week on College Players, and rules pretty simple. Mason, give us the rules real quick.
Same old, same old. It's regular PPR league. Can't draft players twice. Nobody from the same teams. Just some of the basic rules that we have. Yeah, this is week four. Or last week was week four for us, and it was a little depressing for me.
Yeah, give us some results there, Mason.
The score was 30-70.
The score was 30. I finally evened it up, and now we're 2-2 on the year.
Evened it up. So we are now 2-2 on the year. Correct. It was a rough week for me. My running back didn't even touch the field. He was injured, so that was great. So just. Stand up week for me. Really felt great just to watch all my players suck it up.
Yeah.
That's why I will not. I'm not drafting any more Auburn players. I got them all out the way.
Got them all out the way. I hear you. So, well, I'll go ahead and give up my lineup since I get to pick first, since I won last week. And then Mason's going to give his. And also, just kind of a caveat, these players can't be playing cupcakes. They have to be playing against conference opponents for Power Five. So you don't get any easy points here. Okay. You got to earn it. So, it seemed like my quarterback curse ended last week, thank God. So hopefully it ended for your sake, because my quarterback this week, I'm picking Bryce Young. He's going against Arkansas, which has one of the worst secondaries in the country. So we're going with Bryce Young for some points here at my quarterback. At running back, I'm going with Deuce Vaughn, the Kansas State running back that seems like he gets like 100 yards every week. We're going with him. At wide receiver, I'm going Mario Williams, which is the second wide receiver over at USC. My tight end, I'm going with Payne Durham, who is a tight end over at Purdue. And then my flex, I'm going with C.J. Donaldson from West Virginia. So here's my third straight victory coming up this week with this lineup, Mason, as I'm just going to start leaving you in the dust here soon.
I just have to say, if your QB curse hasn't ended, I will probably never talk about it again.
I might be doing the podcast alone the rest of the season, guys, if this happens. So
yeah. All right, so for me this week, I'm rolling with Sam Hartman, the Wake Forest quarterback. He's coming back from the blood clots. He put up, I think it was 6 touchdown crazy passes numbers against Clemson. Crazy. So let's hope he does that again. For my running back, I'm going with Blake Corum from Michigan. He's been having an awesome year so far. Hoping he's going to keep it up. Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be my wide receiver from Ohio State. At tight end, I'm going with Cam Latu. Hopefully, Bryce Young will throw a lot of touchdowns to him, so I'll even out the score from that. And in my flex, I'm going with Julian Edelman reincarnated, and that is Ladd McConkey from Georgia. The perfect Patriot wide receiver. Stereotype. Fits it perfectly. So.
All right, so that's Mason's losing team for this coming up week. It's rough. You know, you got off to an early start, but it's not looking good for you anymore. So
I felt good, 2-0, and I just died. Apparently, I don't know what happened.
So I mean, listen. Speaking of rough weeks, let's move on from there. Let's talk picks that's coming up here.
Let's just keep adding fuel to the
Mason,
fire.
Mason, it wasn't a good week for you, man. You went 2-6-1 last week. Two wins, man. That's rough. I will say we did have a listener email in with his picks, and he somehow did worse than you. He only got one right. I'm not going to give names.
Shout out to him.
But you at least you made Mason look a little bit better on the podcast here after you went 1-7-1. I ended up winning this week. Obviously, I did pretty good. I went 5-3-1, so pretty solid week. I do have to say, I do have to give out a shout out to my wife, Courtney. I also had her pick games this week, and she ended up beating all of us, and she went 6-2-1. So maybe, you know, she might know more than at least you in football now, because she did really good.
She outperformed you too.
She did outperform me. She can do an appearance at some point. But she did win. So props to Courtney for winning this week. And hey, if you have any picks yourself and want to put them in, they're going to be in the description of the episode on Spotify and anywhere else that you listen. So hey, feel free to email us your picks. If you end up winning, hey, you're going to get a shout out on the podcast. So send those in. Or send in your fantasy lineups. I mean, we'd love to have any of that interaction or any questions or anything you want us to go over. We did go over, obviously, Pac-12, Big 12 stuff today. If there's something else you want us to talk about, you know, feel free to send in those questions and that interaction. We'd love to have it. So we're going to go ahead and go on. We have a lot of games to pick this week just because there's a lot of good games coming up this week. So we're going to go ahead and move on to our picks now. So we're going to start off with the Friday night game this week, Washington going to UCLA. Washington is a 3-point road favorite. So, Mason, what are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, like you said earlier, UCLA is still undefeated. But to me, I like Washington. I think they've been awesome so far this year. So I think they're going to keep it going.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you there. I don't believe in UCLA, and they basically don't have any home field advantage at all because nobody goes to their games. So I'm also going to go Washington winning that one. So let's move on to probably the SEC, well, the second best SEC game of the week this week. Kentucky going on the road to Ole Miss. Ole Miss really hasn't played anybody all year. They're finally getting some competition coming into Kentucky. Kentucky has their own struggles, especially on the offensive line, protecting the passer. But Ole Miss has some running back injuries. Zach Evans out. He's not playing. So what are we thinking on Ole Miss being a 6.5-point home favorite against Kentucky?
Yeah, when you first sent me this line, I was a little surprised by it. Even with Zach Evans being on the field the past couple of games, I haven't felt like Ole Miss's offense has really been as dynamic as you would expect it to be under Lane Kiffin. And with him missing this game and them still being a 6.5-point favorite, I was a little surprised. So I definitely go Kentucky this week.
Yeah, I'm going Kentucky too. And the only reason why I'm going Kentucky with, again, we're picking against the spread guy. So this isn't straight up picks. So Kentucky just has to keep it within 6.5 if they do end up losing the game. But I like Kentucky because they already have experience going on the road to Florida, winning that game convincingly. They're super disciplined on defense, and their offense has capabilities of being kind of explosive. And I just think with the advantage that they have is that they have experience on the road against an SEC team, whereas Ole Miss, they really haven't played much of anybody. So we really don't know much about them. And honestly, they have the easiest schedule out of anybody in the West this year. So I'm going Kentucky for that reason. There is just the experience they've had this year. So let's move on to the next one. We got Texas Tech going on the road to Kansas State, a battle of two teams that pulled off upsets last week facing each other. Kansas State is a 8-point favorite at home. What are you thinking on this one?
Yeah, I'm going with Kansas State in this one. And what I like about Kansas State is they have a great, and I'm losing my mind. Can't speak anymore. They have a great running back. They have a great ground game. So to me, Deuce Vaughn's just going to kind of ball out this week against Texas Tech. So that's why I'm going with Kansas State.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going with Kansas State too. I just think they're a way better team. And I think Texas Tech just kind of caught lightning in a bottle last week in the second half against Texas, and they were at home. You go on the road to Kansas State, which is a really good football team, I think you're going to get beat. So I'm going Kansas State as well. All right, we're going to the CBS game of the week. Alabama going on the road to Arkansas. I honestly couldn't believe how big the spread is, but I guess I shouldn't be surprised. Alabama is a 17.5-point favorite on the road to Arkansas. Probably talk a little bit more about this one than the other one. So give me your thoughts on this one, Mason.
Yeah, I'll just go ahead and tell you I'm going with Alabama for sure. Alabama by 100, always. But the two biggest thing, the two biggest keys to the game for me right now, Alabama's run defense has been really good so far this year, and that's what Arkansas is. They're a ground-and-pound team. So if Alabama controls the line of scrimmage like they have been so far, I think they're going to do fine. And also, like you were saying earlier, Arkansas's secondary is just hot garbage right now. So I think Bryce Young's going to light it up. If he's lighting it up, the wide receivers are going to be doing fine to me. I don't know if JoJo Earl and Tyler Harrell are coming back. Last thing I heard is they were, but nothing official out of that yet. So I'm interested to see if those two are going to play, how they're going to look, and hopefully the defense can keep doing their thing so far like they have been. So that's why I'm going to go with Alabama.
Okay. I think Alabama will win the game, but I don't think they're going to cover the 17.5 until Bama can prove to me, because it's been it seems like a 2-year sample size right now, until they can prove to me that they can be that team on the road in a hostile environment. I'm not going to pick them to win by these crazy point margins. We both kind of got burned against Texas this year already. They didn't look good against Auburn last year. They didn't look good against Texas A&M. They lost last year. They didn't look good on the road against Florida last year. You can come up with any excuse that you want to, but they seem to struggle against good, competent teams on the road. Here's the thing with Arkansas. They lead the nation in sacks, and you're going up against an offensive line that seems to be struggling on pass, especially on the road. And so, man, like, Alabama's a good team. I think they're going to win. I don't think that they're going to cover the 17.5. The point spread was maybe 10. I might pick Bama there, but 17.5 is a lot of points on the road with a team that seems to just not play great on the road right now. So until they prove it to me, I'm not picking the high spreads for them on the road right now against competent teams. So that's my reasoning there. I still think they'll win, but I think Arkansas will cover. All right. Oklahoma State at Baylor. It's also at 2:30. So two good games going on at the same time. Oklahoma State at Baylor. Baylor is a 2.5-point favorite in this one. This is a rematch of the Big 12 championship game last year, where Oklahoma State came up like half a yard, if that, maybe even like a couple inches short of winning the Big 12 championship and possibly going to the playoff. They lose, so now they're going on the road. Hopefully revenge on the mind for Oklahoma State going to Baylor. What do you think on this one?
Yep, Oklahoma State's got to get their revenge. I'm going with Oklahoma State, but I'm going with Oklahoma State because I just don't believe in Baylor right now. They've got an average offense. Their defense is okay, but I believe more in Oklahoma State right now as an offense than I do Baylor in general. So I'd go with good old Mike Gundy.
Mike Gundy and the mullet. Yeah, I'm with you. And also, I don't know if this is an advantage or not. I mean, obviously, it depends on the team, but Oklahoma State did not play last week, and Baylor was on the road in Ames, which is a hard place to play. I'm going with Oklahoma State, too. I think their offense is a lot more improved than last year. Their defense might not be as good, but I think that they would be able to win this game against Baylor. So I'm going Oklahoma State as well. Next one, Wake Forest, after a heartbreaking loss against Clemson in overtime, they go on the road to Florida State. Florida State's getting a lot, isn't getting as disrespected. They're getting a lot of press and getting a lot of people looking at them now after being 4-0 and completely dominating Boston College last week. They are a 7-point home favorite this week against Wake Forest. What's your thought on this one?
Yeah, Sam Hartman looked awesome last week. The thing is, like you were saying, Florida State's getting 7 points. So I don't necessarily think Wake Forest is going to win the game, but I definitely think they'll keep it within 7. So I'd go with Wake.
I'm there with you too. Wake Forest is going on the road to Florida State. Hurricane implications. The weather's not going to be pretty. Florida State has a really good running game, and I think Florida State's going to win the game, but I'm like you. I think it's going to be ugly, and I don't think they'll cover the 7. So I'm going Wake Forest as well, but I think Florida State's going to win the game. Watch out, Florida State, man. They're getting on the roll, and they could be a real problem here in the ACC coming up. So keep your eye out on them. I think we kind of already gave some picks sort of on this next one, but we're going Texas 8-4 against Mississippi State on the road in Stark, Vegas. Mississippi State is a 4-point favorite at home. I don't know if anybody's shocked on that or not, but some are, some aren't. Are you shocked on that? And what's your pick?
I'm going with A&M this week, surprisingly. I'm hoping they're going to be able to build off of what they did last week. And also, I know you're probably picking Mississippi State, so I'm trying to gain a game on you.
Trying to gain a game on me. This isn't the one to do it, man. Mississippi State is going to beat A&M, and they're going to do it handily, I think, on the road. Starkville is not an easy place to play. I'm pretty sure they're playing at night with the cowbells. Mississippi State has a really good defense, and their offense, I think, is ready to turn up and just shred Texas A&M. And because they play more ball control, that Texas A&M defense is going to get tired. Mississippi State winning, I'm going to say by 10 points, honestly.
Ooh, okay.
All right, we'll go to the next one. LSU at Auburn. LSU is a 9-point favorite. I think it opened at 7.5, but it's gone all the way up to 9. What's your thoughts on this weird rivalry that nobody can give a name because of how crazy it is? LSU at Auburn, thoughts?
I'm going LSU. I think it's going to get ugly real quick. I mean, you're just seeing no life out of Auburn right now, and LSU is actually playing pretty good. Hopefully, Mr. Kayshawn Booty is back.
He is back. Officially. He is playing this week. LSU by, a million. All right, we'll move on.
by a million. All right.
NC State at Clemson. This is one that everybody had circled on their calendar in the offseason. Could be affected by weather with the hurricane coming in. We'll see how affected it is. Clemson is a 6.5-point favorite this week at home against NC State. What's your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I'm just not quite a believer in NC State yet. And DJ Uiagalelei showed some nice stuff last week, so I'd have to go with Clemson.
Going Clemson. I think NC State has a better defense than Wake Forest, so I don't think you'll see a repeat. And also, it's just going to be a really ugly game, I think, because of the weather. And so I don't know if you're going to have the big kind of score. I'm going NC State on this one, keeping it within. I don't know if they'll win or not, but I think if they do lose, I think they'll be able to keep it within 6.5 just because of weather. That's really kind of the only reason, I think. Next one, we got two more for you. We're going West Virginia at Texas. Texas coming off a loss against Texas Tech. Quinn Ewers is, I think, back this week. West Virginia got right last week. They did have a longer week of preparation because they played early last week, I believe. What's your thoughts on Texas or West Virginia at Texas? Texas is a 10-point favorite in this one at home.
10 points is a lot for West Virginia, or for Texas to be favored to me because of how good West Virginia's offense has been. So I'd go with West Virginia. I don't think they're going to win the game, but I do think they cover.
I'm right there in agreement with you. I think West Virginia's offense is really good, and they'll score points and keep it close. But I'm with you. I think Texas does win, but it's going to be within 10. So I'm going West Virginia as well. All right, and so I had to pick one more game because I have to have all the games that we pick be an odd number for some reason. I don't know why, but I just convinced myself that they have to be an odd number. So we're gonna pick like a crazy game. It's Iowa State at Kansas. Who thought that anybody would actually like care to like think and pick this game? But Kansas is undefeated. Iowa State only has one loss. They lost. They kept it pretty close against Baylor last week. Kansas beat Duke. They're undefeated. They're at home, but doesn't seem like Vegas gives them a lot of respect because Iowa State's a 3-point favorite as a road dog here. What are your thoughts on this one? Can Kansas keep the magic going and be undefeated, or does Iowa State crash the party?
I have absolutely no comments on this game. I am picking Kansas just for the fact that I want them to stay undefeated. So I'm speaking it into existence that Kansas is going out there and they're going to ball out and they're going to beat Iowa State.
Listen, I can't argue with that logic, so I'm going Kansas as well. Kansas is going to go undefeated the rest of the way. They're our new darling. Get out of here, BYU. Yeah. We're going Kansas all the way.
See ya, BYU.
Let's go Jayhawks. Yeah, I'm going Kansas as well. So again, if you want to send your picks in to our email address is downtothewirecm@gmail.com. Again, the picks are going to be listed in the description of the episode. So go there. The spreads are going to be there. Again, these spreads are as of Tuesday night. So if you're picking your games, you're picking them based on the spreads that we picked them and not based on the spreads day of or a day or two later, because that's not fair to us. So, you know, come on. kind of help us out here. All right. Yeah. Go ahead and send us your picks. If you want to join us in fantasy, go ahead and send in your picks for fantasy. We'd love to have that interaction again. So thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Tell your friends about us. You know, give us a 5-star review on all the places that you listen, and we appreciate it. Mason, any final thoughts as we get into week 5 of the college football season?
Nope, nothing college football wise. I just want to say thank you for not bringing up my NBA coach getting suspended for the entire year.
Like, what the heck is that about? What the heck is that about?
Cam, I could spend a whole podcast on that, or we don't have time.
Hey, maybe we'll get a surprise NBA podcast at some point out for Mason to give his thoughts on it. Maybe we'll put that out this week if Mason has some time to talk some NBA, because it is media days going on right now too, right?
Yep. It started on Sunday, I believe, and I think they all wrapped up yesterday. So training camp just got started. I want to say the first preseason game is Friday, maybe. I think that's Friday. I know the Celtics' first game is on Saturday, so.
That's coming up. Yeah, we'll see. Obviously, it relies on Mason having power, but maybe we'll get a podcast recorded sometime this week and maybe release next week. But we'll try and get something out there for all you NBA lovers, and I'm sure Mason has a lot that he wants to talk about when it comes to NBA and his coach here. So we'll get into that at some point. But for me and for Mason, thank you so much for listening. We'll get you guys out of here, and we'll see you next week.